Over 170 men participated in our Men's Purity Conference on Friday and Saturday. That, of course, includes a good number of men from our sister churches throughout the area. We thought it prudent, though, not to invite them to our Sunday version of that conference. And in fact, this is not designed for men today, our morning service as well as our evening service. But we do look forward today to the privilege of being the host church for the conference and having our guest speaker continue with us through the day today. We're going to keep him busy today. He's going to speak in Sunday school and then, of course, our evening service. Hope that you'll come back tonight at 5:30. Our guest speaker is Rand Hummel. Rand has devoted his life to serving the Lord through Christian camps and to young people in particular. And God has blessed that ministry for about 30 years serving at the Wilds of North Carolina, now more than 10 years and starting the camp of the Wilds in New England, where he continues there now as director. And we're just thrilled for the privilege of having him here among us. He shares special burdens for God's people. And we are just thrilled to have the opportunity to benefit from the focus on God's word that he brings on particular topics throughout this weekend. And now as you look forward to our service as he comes this morning and then also this evening as well. Rand, we're so happy to have you come. His wife Amber is with him as well. And yes, you can point her out there. And we're glad to have her here today as well. God bless you.
Thank you. And good morning. Merry Christmas. You're the first group I've been able to say that to. The music was absolutely beautiful. I love Christmas music. Just a reminder that Jesus came to die. And if he didn't come to die, we would not even be here this morning and we wouldn't have the hope of eternity with him. So amen for that. And I also want to thank you men who came to the conference for your sacrifice. I know you sacrificed greatly. You would have rather been Christmas shopping with your wife and just come, and your wives were glad that you weren't with them while they were Christmas shopping, right? So again, Merry Christmas. I have to remind you, I've had the privilege to be with the Wilds now for 40 years. In fact, I was just thrilled when I heard your mission statement there by Chris, Pastor Chris, about camps abroad. I don't know if you knew, but on that trip to Bangladesh, they had so many kids show up for this camp that did not know the Lord. Over 100 trusted Christ as their Savior. So if you're thinking, wow, Christmas, end of year giving, I want some, give to Camps Abroad, okay? Just write an out extra check to a couple million dollars to them, and they'd appreciate that very much. My life has been teenagers, which I just love what I get to do. And as I mentioned yesterday, I do get a little nervous. My wife would attest to this even right now when I stand in front of a bunch of old people, okay? I got to remind myself that you are nothing more than teenagers with wrinkles, and then I'm okay. But you are a good-looking congregation. In fact, would you turn to the person next to you, say Merry Christmas, and then ask them this question, don't you wish you looked as good as I do today? Go ahead. Wow. So we're in Psalm 119. I love to do word studies, and we're going to do a word study on every word of Psalm 119 this morning. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How do our young people stay pure in an incredibly impure world? How many of you are parents? Can I see your hands, please? How many of you are grandparents? Let me see your hands. Which of you grandparents have the best-looking, most intelligent grandkids, huh? Don't you want them to stay close to God? Don't you pray that way? Don't you encourage them by your example? Don't you want them to stay pure? Doesn't it break your heart when they make choices to run away from God? It does. And I know if you read books like, you know, Already Gone by Ken Ham, Barna Statistics, 60% of our kids that are raised in our churches, 60%, over half of the kids that are raised in our Christian world when they leave home, they leave God. That's sad. That's heartbreaking. So how do you encourage your kids to stay close to God? We can mess up those statistics really, really good. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Our kids, it's a tough world to grow up in today. It is. Very, very difficult. Much more difficult than when most of us were growing up. Personally, I wish we could still live back in the days of Little House on the Prairie. I really do. All we'd have to deal with was like Nellie's attitude. But we don't live in that world. We live in a very wicked, impure, immoral world. So how do you keep your kids clean? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. That's the key that we're going to dig into in a minute. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. When I was a kid, I was raised by my grandparents. And my granddad, he struggled in life. My grandma, she was just precious Polish lady. She's about 4'11 both ways. And she was just a wonderful, wonderful lady. And I spent many years, they basically raised me. I was about 9, summertime, lived in very, very rural northeastern Pennsylvania. So I told my granddad, I think I need to go and explore the woods. And he said, I don't think that would be wise. You'll probably get lost. I said, not me. Granddad, I know those woods like the back of my hand. I can do this. I personally taught Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone everything they know. I can do this. I know I can. I somehow talked him into it. So what I did is I went down. The first thing, I made a spear because I knew I'd get hungry about lunchtime and I'd have to kill a deer and roast it and eat it and all that. And so I made the spear, and then I'm starting to run through the woods and I saw the deer. And I threw my spear, missed the deer, and the deer ran off. But then I started chasing him. And 1 hour turned into 2 hours and turned into 3 hours. And now I'm getting scared. I'm totally lost in the woods. I'm only 9 years old. It's starting to get dark. I have no idea what's out there. I mean, there literally could be lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. And it was dangerous for a 9-year-old kid to be lost in the woods, to wander off the path. But there's something much, much more dangerous, folks. And that's when you wander away from God. So my question for all of us, have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Because many of you have been saved a long time. And you live in what they call the buckle of the Bible Belt. And you have a wonderful church. And many of you work with Christians side by side. You have access to the Word of God. But it's been months since you even tried to win a soul to the Lord. And you think back to the day when you first trusted Christ. You could not wait to tell everybody about it. You grabbed your Bible and every day you just wanted to dig in. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. How do we wander? We can wander with our thoughts, can't we? You have a precious pastor, knows the word so well. And he's up here and he's working and striving to teach these precious truths to us, you know. And then he looks out and he can see you out there going like this. And he's thinking, yes, they're right with me. And in your mind, you're thinking, Olive Garden or Outback? Isn't it easy to let your mind wander when people are preaching? Isn't it easy to let your mind wander when you're even praying and talking to God? Have you ever stopped to think how rude that is? Our minds wander, our eyes wander. We spend a lot of hours studying the Word of God and how we can keep pure in an impure world. Our tongues can wander, can't they? Our loving concern can turn into harsh criticism, just like that. And so in so many ways, we can wander away from the Lord. We don't want our teens to wander away from God. We want them to stay close to God. So again, I ask you, have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? What is the key? What is the difference? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How does he stay clean? By taking heed thereto according to the word of God. That word take heed is also found in Proverbs 4:23, and it has the concept of diligence, but it means to diligently build a wall around yourself, to encircle yourself, to totally encapsulate yourself. to totally be wrapped up with the very words of God. Now, again, as Pastor mentioned, I've had probably the best job in all the world. 30 years at the Wilds in North Carolina, 10 years plus now in New England. And everybody says, Rand, are you ever going to, grow up and get a real job? Okay, there's two reasons why after 40 years I'm still in camping. Number one, I love what I do. I really do. I'm excited to get up every morning. I love the staff I get to work with, sometimes too much, you know. I love the campers. I really, really love what I do. But there is a second reason. Because for 30 years in North Carolina, we have what's called a program staff. And this program staff there, and now we have it in New England, you get real close to them and they stay for a year or two or three and then they move on in life. And me being the gracious, kind individual that I am, we're normally going to have a little bit of a party when they move on. But the party is not always fun. Sometimes they got thrown down a water slide or into the lake or something like that. I still remember a guy named Dan. He was with us about 3 or 4 years. And Dan, I'll be honest with you, he had a little bit of an edge, you know, cocky, you know. So we needed to say goodbye in a very special way to him. So we took him out to this real fancy restaurant. There were 7 of us and him and just had a great meal. And then we were standing there in the parking lot outside of the Pizza Hut and just kind of talking and stuff. And finally, we surrounded him, and he looked at his guys. We threw him down to the ground. We did. Brought the duct tape with me. I duct taped his ankles together and his wrists together. One of the other guys brought some of that, I think he called it like a saran wrap or that clingy stuff, you know? And we made a mummy out of him, went to the grocery store, put him in a shopping cart, put a sign on, we'll work for food, and put him right in front of the checkout counters. We did. So we're sitting in the van, looking through the window, laughing at people, laughing at him. And it got kind of boring. I said, come on, guys, I got it. Guys, let's go bowling. We'll grab Dan. We'll plop him down the lane next to us. And if he can get out of the wrap, he can bowl with us. So we did. We got him, threw him back in the van, and pulled into the bowling alley. That's when the problem started because the police surrounded us and I did have some explaining to do, okay? But Dan was so wrapped up in those things. He could not speak. He could not think. He couldn't say anything. Folks, wouldn't it be so amazing if we were so wrapped up in the very words of God? We couldn't speak, we couldn't think, we couldn't say anything. How do you encourage your young people to be wrapped up in the Word of God? God tells us in this passage, look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. A lot of personal pronouns there. If you want to wrap yourself up with this precious book, number one, realize who said it. Say it with me. Realize who said it. God wrote a book. And sometimes when you've been a Christian a long time, we almost take that for granted. God wrote a book. We call it the Word of God, the Bible. I could take my Bible, go to the very beginning, and put Dear Ram. Go all the way there and put Love, God. Because that's what this book is. It's a precious love letter from my Heavenly Father to tell me how I can keep loving Him and kind of stop loving self. Realize who said it. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Not only realize who spoke the Word of God into existence, but number two, repeat it. Say it with me. Repeat it. My lips I declare thy judgments. What do you talk about? Seriously, what do you talk about? I've got teens figured out, okay? You know the number one thing that most teenage girls talk about? Teenage boys. You know the number one thing most teenage boys talk about? Sports, food, trucks, and finally girls, okay? I ask them, what do your parents talk about? Your grandparents? Like Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, Weather Channel, When I Was Your Age type stuff, okay? I've got it all figured out. You talk about what you think about. And you think about what you love. You talk about God? Do you? Granddad, have you ever told your grandkids when you got saved? And how God convicted your heart and drew you to Himself? Do you ever share mom, grandma, on your Facebook with all these friends you communicate with? Do you ever just share your devotions? Guys, have you ever got up early in the morning, spent some time with God, and then grab your phone and text back to your wife what God taught you that morning? Do you talk about God? I was preaching somewhere, and was up early and I was at a coffee shop and probably a Starbucks and just spending time with the Lord. And I was reading through the book of John, and I was just, it was one of those mornings like the world disappears. You know what I'm talking about. And I felt like I was sitting right there with the Apostle John. I grabbed my phone. I texted Amber. I said, "Hon, I'm sitting here with the Apostle John. He is so cool. He is 19 years old and he just really, really loves God and loves people." I get a text back. "Oh, tell him I said hi and tell him thanks for taking care of Mary." You know, I mean, these things are real. But we go through life and we don't even talk to those we love. How about talk to those we don't even know? 3 weeks ago, I was in Rhode Island. I was preaching at a little tiny inner city church. And those people got excited about inviting their friends to come. I'm not talking about kids. There were a few kids, but most everybody there was like 50 and way up. They brought their old friends, 50, 60, 70. Five of those old people made a profession for Christ once they heard the gospel. Now, folks, I'm telling you, even here in Greenville, you invite them to come, they're going to come, they're going to hear the gospel, they're going to trust Christ. Talk about your Lord. Repeat it to those you love, to those you don't even know. If you want to wrap yourself up, by the way, did you know that witnessing to unbelievers gains some of the greatest accountability partners you will ever have? Because unbelievers are excellent accountability partners. Now they're watching you to see if you truly will do and behave like you say you should. Christian, it's cool, isn't it? So number one, realize who said it. Repeat it, talk about it. Look at verse 14. "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies." Number three, if you truly want to totally wrap yourself up with the very words of God, rejoice in it. Say it with me. Rejoice in it. How do you rejoice in the word of God? He tells us, as much as in all riches. I do get to be a camp director, and I do travel and speak a lot. But to make a little money on the side, I'm also a representative for Apple Computer. And for tonight after the service, we will have out in the lobby a little drawing. I have five new iPad Airs, and we're going to do a drawing. Just put your name in a little hat there, okay? And then we'll do the drawing, and you'll be able to go home, so five of you at least, with a new iPad. And then I'm also a representative for Ford Motor Company. And after the service this morning, there's six brand-new 2019 Mustang convertibles coming in, one of each color. And we're going to have a little drawing, and look at you thinking, "I wasn't going to come tonight, but I'm going to come if I can win that iPad." And once I mentioned Mustang, but you know what it's like when you get a brand new car or a new outfit or a new home or a new computer, a new chia pet, something that really means something to you, okay? And you do, you get excited and you want to share it with others. So folks, when was the last time that you're reading the Word of God and you're reminded of one of those great truths? You couldn't wait to share it with somebody else. Like that God loves me, even when I'm unloving. That God is a forgiving God, and he keeps forgiving. That if I ask God for wisdom, he'll give it to me, and he won't upbraid me or get on my case. Do you ever get excited about truths from the Word of God and share them? Rejoice in it. Look at verse 15. "I will meditate in thy precepts." I believe this is a lost art for most of us. We're too busy to spend time with God. We're too busy for God. Whoa. Meditate. To ruminate. To mull over in your mind. To reflect on the Word of God. How many of you live on a farm? Let me see your hands, please. Okay. How many have ever been on a farm? How many ever sang Old MacDonald had a farm? Okay. Pastor, I'm going to make this real easy. I grew up working on the farm, okay? And so the girl cows, those are the ones we get the milk from, okay? The white ones, white milk, black ones, chocolate milk. You know all about that. What they do is they get up early in the morning and they eat the grain or eat the grass. And then if they eat, say at 6, 6:30 in the morning and they get hungry about 9:30 or 10 o'clock, they don't have to go eat again. They ruminate, okay? We say they chew their cud. Same concept of meditate. So what they get to do if they're hungry at 10 o'clock, they just take that food they ate earlier and burp it back up in their mouth, chew it up again, and then swallow it. And they get hungry about 2 o'clock, same thing. Puke it back up in their mouth, chew it up again, swallow it again. Ladies, aren't you glad that God made cows like cows, not men like cows? We could be sitting here right now and the guy's thinking, I wonder how long Ren's going to go. I'm getting a little hungry. Oh, yeah, breakfast, Honey Nut Cheerios. Bring it back up. All right, now, we don't do that. But a cow does that because she wants to get every bit of nutrient out of the food. It's the same concept in meditation. You just don't read through a verse, check it off, say, okay, God, I read my verse today. You stop, you ponder, you think, you meditate, you mull over in your mind until the truths of that verse not only grip your mind, but they grip your heart. They don't only change the way you think, but they change the way you live, okay? Take one of my favorite verses, Isaiah 26, just a part of it. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Thou. It's talking about God. So you help me out. You raise your hand if you can give me one character trait or one characteristic of God that really, really means a lot to you. Who'll be first? Raise your hand. A character trait or a characteristic of God that means a lot to you. Yes, sir.
Loving kindness endures forever.
His loving kindness. He is loving and kind when we're unloving and unkind. He keeps loving us men when we're harsh with our wives. He keeps loving you ladies when you're talking about others and you shouldn't be. He is a loving, kind God. Loving kindness. Somebody else. Another characteristic. Yes. He's faithful. God is faithful to us even when we're unfaithful to him, isn't he? Even if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful. Oh, you can trust a faithful, loving, kind God. Somebody else. Another characteristic of God that means a lot to you. Yes, sir.
All-knowing.
Omniscient. When you have this God that is all-knowing, omniscient, he knows what's in the future, he knows the past, he knows everything. Why do we not trust a God that knows everything? He is omniscient, loving, kind, faithful God. Somebody else, a couple more. Characteristic of God that means a lot to you. Yes?
Merciful.
He keeps from us that which we truly deserve. Aren't you glad? I am. Kind of goes along with his grace, where he gives to us that which we do not deserve. And this God that keeps from us so much, including eternity separated from him in hell when you trust Christ. This God that we're talking about this morning, he is a merciful, loving, kind, faithful, omniscient God. Two more characteristics of God. Somebody raise your hand. Yes. Patient. The Old Testament calls it long-suffering. It's an interesting word because it actually means to be of long nose or to be of long breath. In fact, everybody, take in a breath. Hold it. Let it out. That's patience. That really is. That's when, like men, your wife says something to you to irritate you. Watch me. Okay, dear. Or when your kids or grandkids drive you insane. You look at it and say, kids, we need to talk. Do you ever wonder how often God in his patience looks down and says, Rand. He is a patient, loving, kind, merciful, gracious, faithful, all-knowing God. Thou will promise, keep who? Guard me. In what? Perfect peace, knowing that everything is right with God and everything is right with others. What is the condition? Whose mind is stayed or committed on him. Now look at me. You know what we just did for 4 minutes? We meditated on God. We were thinking about characteristics of God. We were thinking about how wonderful he was. Folks, you can do this with your kids. You can do this with your grandkids. You can do this with your friends. Learn to meditate on the word of God. Look at the end of verse 15. And have respect unto thy ways. To wrap yourself up with the very words of God. God spoke it. Share it with others. Talk about it. Rejoice in it. Reflect on it. Now respect the word of God. How do you respect the word of God? Respect is living with the words, yes, sir, on the tip of your tongue. God says, men, I want you to be pure and holy. And you men say, yes, sir. God says, wives, I want you to lovingly submit to your husband. Yes, sir. Kids, teens, God says, I want you to obey mom and dad quickly, sweetly, and completely. Yes, sir.
I want you to share what I've done in your life with others. Yes, sir! Respect the word of God. Be doers of the word every single time that you hear the word of God. Verse 16, I would delight myself in thy statutes. To find satisfaction. To find joy. To appreciate. I use the word to relish the word of God. In other words, acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. Let me say that again. Acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. You know, when you rejoice and you just relish the word of God and your relationship with God, did you know that joy is contagious? In the early church, I understand that some got a little confused about where salvation came from. Because there's this word charis and there's this word kera. And they sound so much alike. One is saved by charis or grace. The other is saved by joy. We're not saved by joy. But even when persecution comes, the Christians were so joyful. They just so loved God and loved serving God and loved learning about God that it was just everywhere that you would look. Incredible joy. So acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. About 10, 12 years ago, when we were kind of visiting through New England, praying and asking if God wanted us to go up there to start a camp, I remember we did a family conference, a couple of them, in the middle of February, okay? Now, we're in Maine in the middle of February. It's not really wise, okay? It's cold, okay? Very cold. Pastor and his wife know very, very well. I mean, even the birds up there wear earmuffs. I mean, it's really, really cold, okay? And so, the place we were staying at, they asked us if we had ever had Maine lobster. And I never had. And I said, no. They said, well, we're going to have it this week. I think it was Thursday. For supper, we had Maine lobster. They bought them and brought them to the house. They were huge. And I remember taking a pen and was trying to mess around with them a little bit. And we're standing in the kitchen looking at these guys. And I'd never been that close to a lobster in my life. And I asked the wife, the lady, I said, how do you cook a lobster? I had no idea. And Amber was standing right there next to me. And she said, well, we just take and get that pot over there on the stove and we get the water boiling. And then we put them inside. I said, you boil them to death? Now, Amber loves animals, okay? So at this point, she's thinking, I'm not going to stand here and watch these poor little guys get boiled to death. So she goes into the living room. I ask another stupid question. Again, I really didn't know, and I was honestly trying to find out the truth in this. I said, well, do they, like, make noises when they die? You know, and she just rolled her eyes at me, but Amber didn't see that. So I'm standing in the doorway, and here's the kitchen, here's the living room, and I'm being a good husband that I am. I'm helping Amber understand what's going on. I said, here she goes, hon. She's picking them up. She took the lid off the pot. She's putting them in the water. They give us these little forks, and we dipped it in that white meat and dipped it in that low sodium, low cholesterol, low fat butter. And oh, I'm serious. When I took a bite of that, I could not wait to get another taste. Do you know what my Bible says? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I promise you, if you learn to wrap yourself up with the word of God, you'll set your alarm to get up at 6:15. You wake up at 5:30. You look at the clock and think, sweet, I got an extra half hour with God today. You'll sit down to spend your time with the Lord and you'll be studying. You'll look at the clock and think, oh man, I got to go to work. Oh, I promise you, you will acquire a taste that results in a constant hunger. The last part of verse 16 says, I will not forget thy word. I get asked all the time by parents, what's the best thing I can do for my teens? I can tell you, Dad, get up every morning and spend time in the word of God. I'm serious. Wives, isn't it sweet to have a husband that you know faithfully every single day opens up the word of God and spends time with God? Isn't that comforting to your heart, ladies? Do you understand the security for a child when they know daddy is every morning? He gets up, he makes his coffee, and he spends time with God. Do you realize what that does? And how it impacts a home and then impacts lives? I will not forget thy word, right in the midst of temptation. I will not forget thy word. right in the midst of the biggest trial you've ever faced. I will not forget thy word. Wow. I was only 9. And I was really, really scared. I finally came to the edge of the woods. Could barely see. But when I got to the edge of the woods, I looked across the field and there was a farmer leaning against his truck looking my way. Almost like he had been expecting me. And he actually was. Because my granddad knew the woods a lot better than I did. And he knew if I got lost, probably where maybe I'd come out. He called his friend and asked if he'd wait there for me. If you have been wandering from God, he knows exactly where you are. He wants you to come home. So because of your relationship with God and for your kids' sake and grandkids' sake, I have to ask us again, have you ever been closer to God than you are right now? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. It's easy to wander. Not many wake up and say, I'm going to throw it all away. I'm going to give up. I don't want to live for God anymore. Nope, nope. That 30 minutes of devotional time becomes 15. Then it becomes 10, and then becomes praying on your way to work. That closet prayer time that once had a prayer list, faithfully you walk through individuals, that list, it's in your Bible, and you're not really sure which page it's in between. It is so easy, folks, to wander away from God. But we have such a wonderful, loving, forgiving God. He even knows. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He understands and he pities us as children. And he's faithful to forgive. If I could give an invitation this morning, I'd love to give one that would last 6 to 9 months. That if you have wandered from God in your devotional life especially, that would change. Loving the Word of God again is contagious. You want to keep your kids and grandkids close to God? You want to encourage them to know how to stay close and live a pure life in an impure world? Then help them to fall in love with the Word of God. I'm going to pray for us, okay? And then I think we're going to sing a song that kind of reminds us of this message. I've wandered far away from home. Lord, I'm coming home. I don't want you just to sing that, please. Would you do this? Would you pray it to God? You probably know the words, so as we're led, don't you just keep your head bowed. For your kids' sake, please, don't wander from God. And if you've been closer some other time in your life, then come home. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the conviction of your Holy Spirit. You told us the greatest of all commandments is to love you with all our heart and soul and mind. You've given us your word that we can know you intimately. So we can learn what you love and love it too, what you hate and hate it too. You give us your words so we learn to love you so much we dread displeasing you. And I pray that if there's any here that they have wandered and their devotional life is either robotic or non-existent, that you'd help them renew that intimate, wonderful fellowship with you. Father, thank you that you love us. And thank you for giving us your precious, precious word. As we pray in the name of Jesus, your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the pastor to come to close. But as he does, hey, if you're here this morning, and you say, I've not wandered from God, I don't even know God. Oh, if you've never realized or understood the gift of forgiveness. You see, Jesus came to earth to pay the penalty for our sin. He never sinned, but he died for sins. He died for our sins. He died so we can put our faith and trust in him, so our sins can be separated from us, so we don't have to be separated from God. And if you have questions in your mind about this, There'll be some folks to the back of the auditorium and to the right. They'd love to take you to a quiet place and sit down and answer all your questions. But then, Christian, you know you're a child of God. And if your own children never communicated with you, would you question your relationship? So don't keep wandering. Be close to the Lord. Again, Father, thank you for your precious word. Continue to work in our hearts that we can change and learn to love your word more. Again, your heads are bowed. Pastor, would you please come?